Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 15. God delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh's army. The story ends with a song, and 3 days later, a new problem arose. Hear the story, starting at Exodus 15, verse 22. Then Moses led the people away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. "What are we going to drink?" they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, "If you will listen carefully to if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent to the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lisa. Now let's see, where did we leave off in this ongoing saga that we've been going through? Oh yeah, God did it. Then God did it again. And then God did it again. Freed from Egypt, delivered across the Red Sea, the story continues. With that little word, then. Then Moses let the people out from the Red Sea and into the wilderness of Shur, having just celebrated with Miriam and the gals. Freedom and relief was on every face. They traveled for 3 days and came across no water. They were thirsty. Sure, God had delivered them, but that was 3 days ago. And the desert is dry. There's no water to be found until they spotted Marah. Surely the oasis of Marah would bring relief. They found water, but it was bitter, undrinkable, possibly infused with mineral deposits, bitter like the bitter herbs that are eaten yearly at the Passover in remembrance. 3 days in, and the people had just been singing praises, they turn on Moses. "What are we to drink?" they demand. Witnessing so many miracles, from the plagues to the Red Sea, their trust and confidence didn't last. Moses has been there before. Practice has taught him how to depend on God. He cries to the Lord and is guided to a quick fix. Choose this specific piece of wood. Throw it into the water. The bitter water turns sweet. Crisis averted. Originally, I named this wilderness-wielding section of the story, God Provides. God provided water to drink. And the definition of provide is this: to make available for use, to supply. God saved Moses in the basket. God called Moses to lead the Israelites. God delivered them from the stronghold of Pharaoh. And here in the wilderness, he provided water to quench their thirst. Yet the result was more than just provision, deeper. Our suburban ears tend to hear provision as comfort. We got what we need, with the definition of what we need being based on our background and what we've become accustomed to. It may be more accurate to say that God's provision sustained them. Where provision is to provide and make available to use, to supply, sustain is to strengthen and support physically and mentally. The Lord strengthened Israel. The Lord supported their lives. Originally, they were seeking relief from harsh labor and ruthless taskmasters. Now they are deprived of the basic necessities: water, food, safety, shelter. And God provided, but more than that, he sustained them through unfamiliar, uncomfortable times. Life in Egypt was all this generation had ever known. When they walked out, everything changed. 3 days without water, and they panicked. And this pattern is repeated two more times. Exodus 16, 2 months later, God's people desperately need food. And they complain, and they grumble, and they tell stories of all of the good old days where the pots of meat, they just sat around and ate in Egypt. And in response, God provided manna falling from the sky in the morning and quail just flying in the evening. Manna and quail to sustain them. Then the very next chapter, Exodus 17, thirst becomes a problem again. This time, God has Moses take the leaders and go to a rock in Horeb. And Moses struck the rock with his staff and water gushed forth. God sustained their lives. And because of the Lord, they did not die in the wilderness. He sustained them through uncomfortable circumstances. Which leads me to ask this: is there a place in your life where you find yourself really uncomfortable? Has something difficult unexpectedly come into your life? Within the Exodus story, this appears to be the norm. Moses is born into danger. He flees Egypt in danger. He faces down Pharaoh over and over again at the cost of great danger. And he gets free only to see Pharaoh's army coming after him again. He gets across the Red Sea only to find parched conditions. God gives food, then water, then food, then water again. Trial after trial, need after need, God is there. And we are shocked and surprised when unexpected trials come into our lives. And what we find is that God is there. Maybe uncomfortable times and unexpected difficulties is more the norm than we expect it to be. A misconception of the Christian life is that our life should be easier because we put our trust and faith in God. No one anticipates an accident, a health crisis, a loss, a malfunction, a catastrophe. Jesus warned, Matthew 5:45, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. It's in these unexpected, uncomfortable times in life when we most need the Lord to sustain us. In walking through these times, we're offered the chance to be strengthened and supported and sustained by the Lord, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and ultimately grow our trust and dependence upon God, who has promised to guard our lives. He will watch over your life, your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. The story leads me to three observations. The first we just mentioned, that it's normal to experience uncomfortable times and unexpected difficulty. We should not be surprised. The second observation, grumbling and complaining does not help. The Israelites responded to their hardship in the desert by grumbling and complaining to Moses. How do we respond to our hardships? Often about the same way. I can't tell you how many times I have resolved to stop complaining, only to find myself complaining about the weather, sun on a vacation, or having something to do that I don't feel like doing. Hard habits are hard to break. Our needs keep coming, and we easily forget all that God has done for us in the past and all that He provides. We grumble and moan and moan and complain, but complaining doesn't help. It doesn't do anything positive for us or the people around us or our relationship with God. And take notice, the Israelites complained to Moses. They blamed Moses for not having what they needed, and Moses went to God. The people could have gone to God directly, but they didn't. They blamed and criticized Moses instead. Complaining saps our energy, it deflects our attention from God, and it does not help us. Going to God is the better plan, because our sustainer, He is our sustainer. And we're going to experience uncomfortable times and unexpected difficulty. Grumbling and complaining does not help us. But there's one more part of this passage which I want to point out. Did you catch the middle part? Verse 25, God put them to the test. First, He miraculously provided fresh water. Then He issues ruling and instruction to test them. God has graciously gone to great lengths to provide for them. They have water, and soon they will have food that never runs out. God was not content to hand out these things and require nothing of them, because it's a relationship. When you require nothing, it's more like Santa Claus. You submit your wish list, and Santa says you must be good, but He gives you anything you ask for either way. This is the first place in the journey where God speaks to them about the fact that He has instructions and regulations for them to learn how to follow. Not to enslave them again, but for their own good. God meets their needs, He sustains their lives, and then He says, "Give me your attention. Heads up, people, listen. And we are going to have a good journey together. We're going to need to set some ground rules." See, they are on their way to Mount Sinai, not to give away what's happening, where they will receive the Ten Commandments, and God's people will be instructed on how to live, how to eat, how to worship, how to resolve conflict, how to interact with strangers and foreigners, and generally how to live God's way. So here He begins it in verse 25 by saying, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Do what's right. Pay attention. Listen. Keep my ways. It's basically the same thing. Obey me. And the promise about diseases may be related to the fact that the water will be clean and free from diseases that are carried in bad water. But the point is that their relationship with God will thrive when they obey. God has begun to test His people to help them grow, to prepare them for what is to come, to let them know that being freed from slavery does not mean that they're on their own. They will now be more dependent upon God, and they will answer to Him. So I ask, is there a place in your life where you find yourself really uncomfortable? Has something difficult unexpectedly come into your life? When we find ourselves unexpectedly uncomfortable in the desert, We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't grumble and complain. We should pay attention. We can ask, where is the Lord in this situation? What instructions are coming my way? How can I remain at peace in trust? See, God sustains us in the middle of it, right where we are, in our current job, our current home, our current relationships. God sustains his people through divorce and through diagnosis and through disaster and amid terrible discomfort. What a great God we serve. He preserved the lives of the Israelites in the desert. He sustained us by putting breath in our lungs daily and giving us physical things we need to live and providing spiritual support and strength we need to grow to be more like Jesus as we follow him. God sustains us not to make us uncomfortable, but to show us his mercy and grace and to challenge us to receive all that he has for us. When God provided manna and quail for the Israelites to eat, he said they would see his glory, and they did. They saw God's glory in the desert. Maybe we too get to see God's glory in what he does for us and what he does in us. The well in Mara was bitter, not good to drink. The story doesn't end in Mara. God made their bitterness sweet. They drank the improved water. They received refreshment, and they continued along their journey. And that's what our lives are like. Because of the Lord, bitter water becomes sweet. God shows himself able, and our bitterness evaporates, and we carry on. But the journey does not end in Mara. The story concludes. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is the final lesson, or the grand finale, probably both. They travel on to Elim, where God bestows abundance. In Elim, we find not one spring or two springs, but a dozen fresh water springs. Not only that, 70 palm trees, shade in the desert. That's where they camped, near the water, in the shade, from bitterness to sweetness to abundance. The sovereign Lord knows how to sustain the weary, and at just the right time, ample provision arrives. May our lives be sustained so that our bitterness turns sweet. May great relief be found in Elim, a place of abundant water and cool shade. And may our faith be refreshed by the Lord who sustains us all. Amen.